Oh, thank Sadai.
Hey!
Bigger guns.
It's your fashionably late wolf. It's going to be great.
Oh, here, let me start the podcast, and then we'll talk to Jeremy.
What? You didn't get into the second one yet? That's awesome.
Bro, no, I had some internet problems, and it's been a long episode already.
So is this the first one or the second one?
First one. Well, we're kind of...
Thank the light, everyone. I am currently updating Jeremy on our whereabouts, and these are my wolf brothers.
Hey, I made it to the first episode, guys. I didn't think I was going to make it today at all. That's awesome.
Oh, by the way, this is the second episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the second episode, but you know, it's because I strategically planned my internet problems to stretch it out.
But no, it worked out well because I was thinking about when I remembered what this fucking chapter is, I'm like, this might have to be a double feature. And so you caught us. We just finished talking about the second arch. So
cool, cool, cool.
We do want to talk to you. We're not going to be able to replay the clips, but you probably know enough by memory.
There's a good chance.
Because we can't wait until... Feel free to record a monologue when you listen
okay,
to the episode without
all right.
You. When you're just like, no, that's not it at all, Justin. It's fucking...
Dude, I needed you for this episode.
I want you to send me just Justin's audio. And then I want to try to piece together just hearing half of a conversation. Try to figure out what you were talking about. How crazy would that be?
That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. Because I started looking at my notes, dude, and I was like, this is going to be a long one, bro. It's like, if Jeremy's not here, I'm going to talk a lot. And I wanted to bounce some stuff off you.
It would be Justin yelling obscenities into his microphone, then punching it, then taking a bong rip, and then...
No, I was really serious, and I only took like 3 bong hits.
Oh, well, hey...
We didn't have our straight man on the show. We had to fill in the gap.
You didn't. The Ringo wasn't here.
I hated it. Yeah, I hated it. I couldn't be my fantastic George Harrison funny self.
I set the rhythm.
Got my mind set on being funny and it didn't work.
George Harrison. Oh, the actually, how can you be the most underrated and also overrated Beatle?
He's definitely the most overrated Beatle. You've heard that song I was just singing. It's awful.
Jeremy, you've listened to last week's episode. No, you haven't.
No, I haven't. I wasn't here. Sorry.
But you have.
No, you haven't.
But he has. But the funny thing is that as far as the audience are concerned, he has. But he actually has not. So we're going to get his take on it. Sans our comments. For now.
Okay, let me hear it. What was the...
For right now, what can you remember about the first two arches? What do you want to say? What was and what is?
So the first one is when she walks through and it's basically the episode...
Basically Rand's... Yes, it's Rand's vision when he's talking to Ishmael. And what we had said is, what if maybe her version of the arch starts... where Rand's kind of stopped with Ishmael.
I think...
She freezes, you know, because it's exactly the same.
I don't think they'll show it. I think that they use that, and I think that it's done.
Right.
I don't think that they'll even show the arches for her. They'll probably show the arches
really?
For Nynaeve. Yeah, I don't,
no.
I don't think...
What I was thinking is maybe they have them go through in one arch and show it, because maybe they'll show Elaine or Nynaeve for character development. Dude, he's right, Dez. He's right. They're going to show Elaine because we don't know her as a character as much.
Not Elaine. Nynaeve. They'll show Nynaeve's, but they may show Elaine's as well.
I think they're going to show Elaine, dude.
They might.
Because we don't get shit about Elaine's in the books. And that's why they're going to do Elaine's. It's going to happen.
That's true. They don't show. They don't talk about Elaine's at all.
We see Nynaeve's arches. 100%. We see everything she does. We see Egwene's arches. They don't talk about Elaine's. All she says is, I could never be so horrible. That's all you hear. And she's just sobbing.
They could honestly take Egwene's second arch, right? Because, and they could turn that into Elaine's.
Dude, that would be killer. Because she'd be like, I don't even know this dude barely yet.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Or she could be like.
She doesn't know he's the dragon at this point either.
Well, she could be like, I'm in love with this guy. And I still have to try to, he's asking me to kill him.
Right.
Right. Oh, that's probably too early.
But it would be news to her that, no, it would be news to, yeah, because they really connect in the Stone of Tear.
But if you think about this,
she's in love with him from the time he falls over the wall, though.
if they move their relationship a little bit quicker, right? And then they separate him and Egwene's relationship, right? So Egwene and him start to separate a little bit more. He starts to fall in love with Elaine a little bit more. Possibly, then they use that. Possibly. Or...
Well, I was saying to Dez that this is where Egwene really starts to realize that, like, she's, you know, her, all of her fears have to do with Rand. And she, so she obviously still kind of thinks that she might be with Rand at this point. They've already kind of cut that in the show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they've cut that completely, but yeah, yeah. Like the last second, the last episode,
but they've been getting away from it fast. Dude, I kind of like that idea though. If she were to be in the second arch in Egwene's position, that would hit really well with me.
But you have to think too. So in this second season, it's second book and third book. They're going to have to move through so much stuff.
I know.
I think you see one person and that's it.
I'd rather see Nynaeve's.
Who's what shall be is most premonition.
Egwene's.
That's the one we're going to see.
I say.
So refresh my memory. What's Egwene's third one? Because I remember the second one is when Rand.
We're going to listen to it in just
a minute. We're about to listen to it. So it's when she's, I've never held the oath rod.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yes, I do absolutely remember that.
She has the whole conversation with, hey, I never held the oath rod.
But Nynaeve's is the most heartbreaking.
Yes.
Right? Because it's her and Lan with their kids.
Well, I don't know.
Playing in like a meadow.
Yeah.
Right? And then she has to walk away from that.
Oh.
It's perfectly happy. There's nothing bad about it. Malkier is returned to power. It's like they've restored everything. She's the queen. He's the king. They have kids. The Dark One has been defeated. Like everything's good.
Lan shows up and he's like, come here, let's go have a picnic or something.
Come
like
here,
that.
Wife. Let's, yeah, totally. Let's go have wine and cheese by the lake. Like,
and then she starts walking away and he's like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving me? Why are you leaving me? Basically, that type of thing.
Literally, have I done something wrong? Like, seriously. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's pretty fucked up.
What are the arches, Jeremy?
Like, what? It's a Tarangriel.
Okay.
Okay, it's, or as you would say, a Tarangriel.
A Tarangriel. It's made out of the La Brea. It's at the La Brea Tar Pit.
So if it's a Tarangriel, that means it was created by man, human, person.
By people, yeah.
It was built.
Yeah.
So who made these?
It would have been the Aes Sedai in the Age of Legends. They would have made it. And I,
why?
We don't know.
So it could have been for, yeah, it could have been for like testing, like, hey, are you ready to be a, I don't know, counselor or a psychologist? This is going to prove to you you can be a good psychologist. That was just a, you know.
It's the Aes Sedai sorting hat, basically.
But
if you want to be in Slytherin, it'll tell you.
But,
oh,
and now maybe it's just because we're seeing sisters go through it. They're going through it at such a shitty time in our history that what is, you know, you're always, it's just going to suck. So like, if it's just the good old days, war isn't on the horizon, then are they a little less depressing? Like, is it just like, you could have married this guy, but you're not. This is what would have happened if you would have married him. Like, because these are fucking heartbreaking. Like, there's nothing good about anything we see when we go through the arches with the sisters.
But that's part of it. You're supposed to face your fears. You're supposed to face your fears.
We also don't know if this is exactly what it's used for. It'd be kind of like having an iPhone and only using the calculator feature. Like, we have this iPhone. We don't know what we can do, but
that's the
wackiest really,
fucking analogy ever, but it makes sense.
It adds up everything perfectly. Or you can use the Siri, but you only use it for the calculator friction. Hey, Siri, what's 5 + 5? And they're like, look.
What if you're against Apple and you only use Galaxy? Is there Tarangriel for a Galaxy?
I said, hey, S-word. And it came up and I couldn't hear what any of you guys were saying.
Dude, one of my favorite things of last episode is you shut up, Siri.
It was funny, you know, and you put the very beginning too, Dez, and I did that just for you. I was like, oh crap, did he have to use the David Bowie opening? Because
that's so funny. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I was like, this is just for you.
something else we talked about in the last episode that I want to. So I think I'm having a really hard time reconciling the fact that Aes Sedai are channeling into the Arches through the whole experience. And it's said on fandom that if they stop channeling, that's how you get trapped in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is where we needed you last episode, brother.
Yeah, because they talk about, they tell Egwene, like, we don't know how they get trapped in there. They just don't come out. It sounds like the Aes Sedai are shutting the door.
Well, but there are certain times when they just...
You get to go be with Freddy now.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a certain amount of time that they know. Like, maybe it's an hour. You know, you go into this arch, you come out in 20 minutes. You go to this arch, you come out in 20 minutes. Come out, you know, same thing with third arch. If you go into this arch and it takes you 40 minutes, you're not coming out.
We might have a problem, right? Okay, a couple things about the reason why I wanted you here last episode. The arches, okay, in Riudan, there are arches and there are columns.
Mm-hmm.
Do the clan chiefs go into the arches as well?
No, they do not.
Like the apprentice wise ones, do they only go into the columns?
They only go to the columns. So if you remember this, the only reason I remember this is because gotten to the books.
Two-part question.
Go.
Okay. The second question was, when you're an apprentice wise one, you go to the arches in Riudan. When you go to be a clan chief, you go to the columns. When you go back to become a wise one instead of apprentice, you go through the columns.
Columns.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay, cool. I didn't realize that there were two until we started talking about it. And then I was like, fuck, I wish Jeremy was here because he would know this better than me.
Yeah, so clan chiefs go one time. They go through the columns, the glass columns, and then they come out marked.
Right.
They have the dragon on left arm. And then wise ones go first time, they go through the arches. Second time, they go through the columns. And then this, and go ahead.
Oh, is this, I have a question. So Finn, go.
No, I was just going to give a major spoiler.
Okay. When Rand is there, does he go through both?
No, he only goes through the columns.
And he never goes back a second time.
As far as I know.
Because one of the things we were talking about, he goes through the reason why I asked, because, okay, Dez, so the arches make you face your fears just like the Aes Sedai, but it doesn't require channeling because there's not fucking nine sisters there channeling. The arches, anyone can walk through the arches, and what the arches contain, it's a Turing grill that's more like, think of it like a library book. It teaches the Aiel history. And that was what I was...
No. The columns.
It teaches the history of whoever walks through them. Excuse me.
That's the columns.
Correct?
The columns teach the history.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you said the arches.
The arches kind of test the wise ones like the Aes Sedai.
Yep.
But you don't have to channel into it. So, and they don't have to go in three different times. They just go in once, right?
You know, that I don't know because they don't... He never talks about that.
Because Evienda is the only one you...
Moraine goes through them too.
When Moraine goes, does she go through the arches?
She does.
Does she go through the arches or through the columns?
Well, she... No, it wouldn't... The columns wouldn't do anything for her.
Columns wouldn't matter, right?
She's not Aiel.
Because... And that's another thing we're talking about last episode is because Rand actually goes through the columns and follows his...
His bloodline.
His Aiel bloodline all the way back to the Breaking. And his... family were some of the original Aiel who were basically the, like I said, the personal assistants of the Aes Sedai. They were servants of all. I mean, the Aes Sedai were servants of all, but what does Daishan stand for?
They are the true Aiel. Daishan.
Back in the day, they were Daishan, and the ones who were taken like slave servants in battle are Gaishan.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Which I don't remember what that means.
What's the difference?
I can't remember what that means, but... And the Daishan Aiel is not what I was thinking true Aiel, but that's what they called. So That's the Gen Aiel. The Gen Aiel. So that's the true Aiel, the Gen Aiel, which is, it means the true Aiel.
They're the ones who were like, literally like the Aes Sedai, like they were like connected from Aes Sedai to Aes Sedai from like their families served Aes Sedai like generationally.
Yes. Yeah. And actually Rand doesn't go back to the Breaking. He goes to... when the boar is like put into the Dark One's prison. So even way before that.
Right. He sees them drilling into the boar. Yeah. He goes way back to the Age of Legends. Like,
yeah. Dez, I mean, the first three books are really cool, but honestly, four, five gets a little slow, but six like so much cool stuff happens in those three books. It happens. I mean, and I know that
4, 5, and 6 are really good. I was saying that book 4, I saw a tweet today and I really agree with it. It's book 4, Shadow Rising, is really when the magic mechanics, the world building, the nations, where everybody kind of stands, like, I don't want to say politically, because this is one of the least political. I mean, Rand deals with political bullshit because he's bringing the nations together, but
sure,
it's more, you know, the world is fleshed out. You see where everybody's at. You see, you know, everybody's kind of starting to work towards the last battle, but they still have their own agendas at this point. And, you know, the Shan Chan are here. You really have the world fleshed out. You really have the magic fleshed out. And that's when it really starts to, it's never not a story-driven, a character-driven narrative, but you get to be more event-driven. And that's why I think it slows down a little bit.
I think what happens is in what's happening in Robert Jordan's life at the time is he told like Tom Doherty, who's the guy for Tor books, the guy who was the CEO or the owner.
Right.
He's like, I can get this done in 3 books. And neither his wife nor Tom Doherty thought they could get it done in 3 books. And so they're like, okay, you have a 3 book.
Like the whole story?
Yeah. So they're like, you have a 3 book contract. And I think they extended it before he even got through with the second book to 6 books. And so he's writing the first book. As they're publishing the first book, he's halfway through writing the second book.
Okay.
If that makes, so both of those books came out in 1990.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
What is that? 900 pages? Or
we're like, talking like what? 900 pages?
Each one is probably 700 pages, right? So 1500 pages ish of books, something like that. I mean, it's a boatload of pages. And so he's kind of flying through. And then we've talked about this too. In the third book, you kind of see Rand starts to act really, I don't want to say crazy, but
you've mentioned this before and like, hey, maybe he thought he was only going to get 4 books to finish it or 3 books, because he starts accelerating Rand's kind of like
madness, right? And you kind of start to see that where he kills all those people and then he takes them all and puts them in front of them bowed on their knees and they're all dead and you're like, wow. But then the next book, he's just kind of normal again, you know, at the very beginning.
He still does some weird shit, because the very beginning is when they have the attack on the Stone of Tyr and he tries to like bring the dead girl back to life. His kind of craziness kind of stops right there. They kind of play up his craziness because he's like, he's going to go to the Aiel Waste. What is that about? And they kind of be like, he's already losing his shit. Every time he kind of, you know, gets some fucking lint in his eye, he's like, they're like, oh, it's the madness, you know? And it's like, and like you said, I think Robert Jordan kind of played it up in case he had to make it happen. But when you look back on it, is that the truth? Because Rand's madness could, you know, it's like sleep deprivation, anxiety, like I'm the dragon reborn, like nothing he does in that madness is something that you can't come back from. It's not just like, oh, he went crazy and killed all his friends. It's like, you know, he killed some people that he very much thought were a threat, and maybe it was just the gray man that was the threat and not the other people, but he still kind of had a reason for feeling that way because he's still learning the power. The power makes you sense shadow spawn. So maybe he just thought they were all shadow spawn. So you can kind of chalk up some of his crazy to just kind of figuring shit out.
Yeah. And like you said, I honestly think that if you look back at that too, he's running the whole time, not sleeping.
Yeah. Not sleeping, not eating, just like, you know.
And coming to grips with who he is, right? And trying to understand that. And then also at the same time, learning like how incredibly powerful you are, but also still having this farm boy mentality.
Right. Not even knowing what who you are means.
Exactly.
Like he starts to read the Carithian cycle immediately. And like, he's very smart, obviously, and starts trying to figure stuff out. He gets stuff wrong. It's like paralysis by analysis. He definitely, you know, prophecies up to interpretation, right? I mean,
yeah.
Anakin!
All right. Enough with Rand. We're going to get back to Egwene. We're going to listen to the third arch. This is going to be a long clip just because there's a lot going on. I'll cut it down big time for the release. But for our conversation, this is going to be probably kind of chunky. So
chunk it up.
I don't know where I'm starting to. I might be starting a little early too, but whatever.
Stop calling me names.
It's going to be like my belly, chunky.
The third time is for what will be. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. Egwene stared at the glowing arch, stared at some far distance beyond it. Leandrin and 12 others, 13 dark friends who can channel. Light help us all. She stepped into the light. It filled her. It shone through her. It burned her to the bone, seared her to the soul. Egwene stared into the standing mirror and was not sure whether she was more surprised by the ageless smoothness of her face or the striped stole that hung around her neck, the stole of the Ammerlin seat. She swayed, caught at the mirror, and almost toppled it and herself to the blue-tiled floor of her dressing chamber. Something is wrong, she thought. There was an Aes Sedai at her elbow, a woman with Shiriam's high cheekbones but dark hair and concerned brown eyes, and the hand-wide stole of the keeper on her shoulders. Not Shiriam, though. Egwene had never seen her before. She was sure she knew her as well as she knew herself. Haltingly, she put a name to the woman. Beldine. Her stole is green. That means she was raised from the green Aja. The keeper always comes from the same Aja as the Ammerlin she serves, which means if I'm the Ammerlin, if, then I was green Aja too. That thought shook her. Not that she had been green Aja, but that she had to reason it out. 13 dark friends. We mustn't keep them waiting. Keep who waiting? She did not know, except that she felt infinitely sad about ending that wait, endlessly reluctant. In that case, we had best be about it. Beldine nodded, then took a deep breath before crossing the carpet to where her staff of office, topped with the snowdrop white flame of Tar Valon, stood propped beside the door. She took up the staff and opened the door for Egwene, then hurried ahead so that they made a procession of two, Keeper of the Chronicles leading the Ammerlin seat. Egwene noticed little of the corridors they took. All her attention was directed inward. What is the matter with me? Why can't I remember? Why is so much of what I almost remember wrong? 13 of the Black Aja. It was a frightening thought, but it chilled her to the marrow beyond fear. It felt personal. She wanted to scream, to run and hide. She felt as if they were after her. Nonsense. The Black Aja has been destroyed. That seemed an odd thought, too. Part of her remembered something called the Great Purge. This woman is scared to her toenails. What in the light is she taking me to? Beldine stopped before tall, paired doors, their dark wood each inlaid with a large silver flame of Tar Valon. The ramp led into a large, circular room under a domed ceiling at least 30 paces high. A raised platform ran around the outer edge of the room, fronted by steps, except where this ramp and two others came out, spaced equally around the circle. The flame of Tar Valon lay centered in the floor, surrounded by widening spirals of color, the colors of the seven Ajahs. At the opposite side of the room from where the ramp entered, a high-backed chair stood, heavy and ornately carved in vines and leaves, painted in the colors of all the Ajahs. She comes, the Keeper of the Seals, the Flame of Tar Valon, the Ammerlin Seat. She comes. With a rustle of skirts, shawled women on the platform got up from their chairs. 21 chairs in groupings of three, each triad painted and cushioned in the same color as the fringe on the shawls of the women who stood before them. The Hall of the Tower, Egwene thought as she crossed the floor to her chair. The Ammerlin Seat's chair. What am I doing in the Hall of the Tower? Light, they'll skin me alive when they see. She was not sure what it was they would see, only that she prayed they did not. Sitting in the chair of the Ammerlin seat, the chair that was also the Ammerlin seat, she realized she had no idea what to do next. The other Aes Sedai had seated themselves when she did, all but Beldine, who stood beside her with the staff, swallowing nervously. Begin, she said finally. It seemed to be enough. One of the red sitters stood. Egwene was shocked to recognize Elida. At the same time, she knew that Elida was the foremost of the sitters for the red, and her own bitterest enemy. The look on Elida's face as she stared across the chamber made Egwene shiver inside. It was stern and cold, and triumphant. It promised things best not thought of. Bring him in! Elida said loudly. From one of the ramps, not the one Egwene had entered by, came the crunch of boots on stone. A dozen Aes Sedai surrounding three men, two of them burly guards with the white teardrops of the flame of Tar Valon on their chests, tugging the chains in which the third stumbled as if dazed. Egwene jerked forward in her chair. The chained man was Rand. Eyes half closed, head sagging, he seemed nearly asleep, moving only as the chains directed. This man, Elida proclaimed, has named himself the Dragon Reborn. This man has channeled the One Power. There is only one penalty for this, known and recognized in every nation, but pronounced only here, in Tar Valon, in the Hall of the Tower. I call on the Ammerlin seat to pronounce the sentence of gentling on this man.
Rand, what do I do? Light, what do I do?
Why do you hesitate? Elida demanded. The sentence has been set down for 3,000 years. Why do you hesitate, Egwene Alvear?
Shame, Elida. Show respect for the Ammerlin seat. Show respect for the mother.
Respect, Elida answered coldly, can be lost as well as won. Well, Egwene, can it be you show your weakness, your unfitness for your office at last? Can it be you will not pronounce sentence on this man?
Rand tried to lift his head and failed.
Egwene struggled to her feet, head spinning, trying to remember she was the Ammerlin seat, with the power to command all these women, screaming that she was a novice, that she did not belong here, that something was dreadfully wrong.
No, she said shakily.
No, I cannot. I will not.
She betrays herself,
Elida's shout drowned out Egwene's attempt to speak. She condemns herself out of her own mouth. Take her.
As Egwene opened her mouth, Beldine moved beside her.
Then the keeper's staff struck her head. First there was pain in her head. There was something hard under her back and cold. Next came the voices.
Is she still unconscious?
It was a rasp, a file on bone. Do not worry, a woman said from far, far away. She will be dealt with before she knows what is happening to her. Then she is ours, to do with as we will. Perhaps we will give her to you for sport.
After you make your own use of her.
Of course. The distant voices moved further away. Her hand brushed against her leg, touched bare, pebbly flesh. She opened her eyes a crack. She was naked, bruised, lying on a rough wooden table in what seemed to be a disused storeroom. There was a metallic taste of blood in her mouth. The pain in her head made thinking difficult, but it seemed important to count them. 13. Another group, black-cloaked and hooded men, joined the Aes Sedai who seemed caught between cowering and trying to dominate with their presence. One of the men turned his head to look toward the table. The dead white face within the hood had no eyes. Egwene had no need to count the Murdral. She knew. 13 Murdral. And 13 Aes Sedai. Without another thought, she screamed in pure terror.
Yet even in the midst of fear that tried to split her bones, she reached out for the true source, clawed desperately for Sidar. She's awake. She cannot be, not yet. Shield her. Quickly, quickly, cut her off from the source. It's too late. She's too strong. Seize her. Hurry. Hands reached for her arms and legs, pasty pale hands like slugs under rocks, ordered by minds behind pale, eyeless faces. If those hands touched her flesh, she knew she would go mad. The power filled her. Flames burst from Murdral's skin, ripping through black cloth as if they were solid daggers of fire. Shrieking half-men crisped and burned like oiled paper. Fist-sized chunks of stone tore themselves free of the walls and whizzed across the room, producing shrieks and grunts as they thudded into flesh. The air stirred, shifted, howled into a whirlwind. Slowly, painfully, Egwene pushed herself off the table. An Aes Sedai loomed in front of her, a woman bruised and bleeding, surrounded by the glow of the power. A woman with death in her dark eyes. Egwene's mind put a name to the face. Gildan, Elida's closest confidant. She balled up her fist and punched Gildan between the eyes as hard as she could. The red sister, the black sister, crumpled as if her bones had melted. Rubbing her knuckles, Egwene staggered out into the hall. Thank you, Perrin, she thought, for showing me how to do that. But you didn't tell me how much it hurts when you do. Shoving the door shut against the wind, she channeled. Stones around the doorway shivered, cracked, settled against the wood. It would not hold them for long, but anything that slowed pursuit for even a minute was worth doing. Minutes might mean life. She must find some clothes, she decided. A woman clothed had more authority than the same woman naked, and she was going to need every bit of authority. They would look for her first in her rooms, but she had a spare dress and shoes in her study, and another stole, and that lay not far off. She hurried through the antechamber of her study to the inner room, and at last she found someone. Beldine was sitting on the floor, head in her hands, weeping. Egwene stopped warily as Beldine raised reddened eyes to meet hers. Beldine scrubbed a hand across tear-stained cheeks. I had to. You must understand. I had to. They... She took a deep, shuddering breath. It all came out in a rush. 3 nights ago, they took me while I slept and stilled me. Her voice rose to a near shriek. They stilled me! I cannot channel any longer! The light help and comfort you, my daughter. What would you have done? What? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. But they said they could give it back to me with the power of the Dark One. Her eyes squeezed shut, leaking tears. Elida told me they would make me whole again, make me able to channel again if I obeyed. That's why I had to. So Elida is Black Aja, Egwene said grimly. She began to dress herself quickly. What have they done with Rand? Where have they taken him? Answer me, Beldine. The Traitor's Court, mother. Shivers assaulted Egwene. Shivers of fear. Shivers of rage. The Traitor's Court was used for only three purposes. Executions, the stilling of an Aes Sedai, or the gentling of a man who could channel. But all of the three took an order from the Ammerlin seat. So who wears the stole out there? Elida, she was sure. But how could she make them accept her so quickly with me not tried, not sentenced? There cannot be another Ammerlin until I've been stripped of stole and staff, and they'll not find that easy to do. Light! Rand! She started for the door. I never held the oath rod, Beldine. Beldine's gasp followed her from the room. Egwene's memory still played hide and seek with her. She knew no woman could achieve the shawl and the ring without pleading the three oaths with the oath rod firmly in hand, the Turangrial sealing her to keep those oaths, as if they had been engraved on her bones at birth. No woman became Aes Sedai without being bound to them. Yet she knew that somehow, in some fashion she could not begin to dredge up, she had done just that. Her shoes clicked swiftly as she ran. At least she knew now why the halls were empty. Every Aes Sedai, except perhaps those she had left in the storeroom, every accepted, every novice, even all the servants, would be gathered in the traitor's court, according to custom, to watch the will of Tar Valon made fact. Whether Rand had any followers or not, she could not remember, but warders remembered such things and guarded against them. If Elida or another truly did wear the stole of the Ammerlin, the warders might well not admit her to the traitor's court. She knew she could force a way in. It would need to be done quickly. There was no point if Rand was gentled while she was still wrapping warders in air. Even warders would break if she loosed the lightnings on them and balefire, and broke the ground under their feet. Balefire, she wondered. But it would also do no good if she broke Tar Valon's power to save Rand. She had to save both. Well short of the ways that led to the traitor's court, she turned aside and climbed up stairs and ramps that grew narrower and tighter the higher she went, until she thrust open a trapdoor and climbed out onto a sloping tower roof. From there, she could see across other roofs, past other towers, into the broad open well of the traitor's court. Rand. 12 Aes Sedai surrounded him, and another, who Egwene knew had to be wearing a 7-striped stole, even though she could not distinguish it, stood before Rand. Elida. The words she must be saying crept into Egwene's head. This man, abandoned of the light, has touched Sidene, the male half of the true source. Thus do we hold him. Most abominably has this man channeled the one power, knowing that Sidene is tainted by the Dark One, tainted for men's pride, tainted for men's sin. Thus do we chain him. Forcefully, Egwene pushed the rest of it out of her thoughts. 13 Aes Sedai, 12 sisters and the Ammerlin, the traditional number for gentling, the same number as for... She rid herself of that, too. She had no time for anything but what she was there to do. At that distance, she thought she could manage to lift him with air, pick him right out of the circle of Aes Sedai and float him straight to her. Maybe. Even if she could find the strength, even if she did not drop him to his death halfway, it would be a slow process, with him a helpless target for archers, and the glow of Sidar pointing out her own position for any Aes Sedai who looked. Any Murdral, for that matter. Light, she muttered. There's no other way short of starting a war inside the White Tower, and I may do that anyway. She gathered the power, separated skeins, directed flows. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. It had been so long since she last heard those words that she gave a start, slipped on the smooth tiles, barely caught herself short of the edge. The ground lay 100 paces down. She looked over her shoulder. There on the tower top, tilted to sit flat against the sloping tiles, was a silver arch filled with a glowing light. The arch flickered and wavered. Streaks of angry red and yellow darted through the white light. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. The archway thinned to transparency, grew solid again. Frantic, Egwene gazed toward the traitor's court. There had to be time. There had to be. All she needed was a few minutes, perhaps 10, and luck.
Voices bored into her head, not the disembodied, unknowable voice that warned her to be steadfast, but women's voices she almost believed she knew. Can't hold much longer. If she does not come out now, hold! Hold, burn you, or I'll gut you all like sturgeons! Going wild, mother! We can't— The voices faded to a drone, the drone to silence, but the unknowable spoke again. The way back will come but once. Be steadfast. There is a price to be Aes Sedai. The Black Aja waits. With a scream of rage, of loss, Egwene threw herself at the arch as it shimmered like a heat haze. She almost wished she would miss and plunge to her death. Light plucked her apart, fiber by fiber, sliced the fibers to hairs, split the hairs to wisps of nothing. All drifted apart on the light, forever.
Holy shit.
It's a lot to unpack, man.
A lot happened there. A lot happened. So, Dez, do you know there's the scene where there's 13 of the 13 of the Black Aja and 13 Murdral.
Explain the significance of the 13.
Nope.
No.
Justin, we can't hear you.
Yes.
There you go.
There we go.
I didn't mute myself. That's weird.
I did.
Okay.
I muted you because you were talking about nonsense.
You were talking about people that work.
No, I got a text from my work that they had some sketchy tweaker fucks in there. Yeah. Gun, do some sketchy shit. That's what tweakers do.
I was asking Dez, does he understand the significance of 13 Black Aja and 13 Murdral? What they do,
I don't understand why there has to be a matching pair.
So for some reason, if you're a man, okay, like even you're super strong like Rand.
Not just men, if you can channel. Females too.
Is it females too? Okay, so if you're super strong.
At the end, you get to it, they start turning females 13 and 13. They channel through the Madral somehow.
Right. So if you, even if you're super strong, like 6-7 other Aes Sedai, if they try to like cut you off from the source, they can't do it because you're super strong.
If you're holding the power, they couldn't.
If you're already holding the power, you usually can't, right? Rand is like super strong. They can't cut him off. But if you get 13, even if they're incredibly weak, 13 is this magic number. Like if you get to 13, there's 13 of them, boom. Doesn't matter how strong the guy is or the woman is, they can cut you off.
But why is there a... Oh, go ahead. Okay.
And then I was going to tell you. So then the Murdral, so if you have 13 Black Sisters and then 13 Murdral, then what they can do is no matter who you are, they can turn you to the dark.
Against your will. No matter how dedicated you are to the light, you can hold out for a long time if you're really dedicated, but they can turn you no matter what if they have enough time.
And that's what they were trying to do with Egwene in her vision thing. They were going to turn her to the dark side.
Oh, because it's Telen Riad, and what happens in Telen Riad doesn't stay in Telen Riad.
It's more like she's seeing this is a possibility of something that could happen.
No, it could have happened just then.
Well, it could happen in the future too.
Well, yeah, obviously it can happen. You know, anything can happen in the future.
Because she's seeing that she's the Amberlin. It's in the future,
but. That's something that we forgot to talk to you about at the beginning of this episode, that there is possibly a relationship between Telen Riad and the Three Arches.
There's absolutely. It's not a possibility. It's an absolute. Because when she walks in and she has that ring, it causes a whole bunch of issues because of that.
So if you weren't in the Arches and you were just in Telen Riad, you could be turned... The 13 Murdral and the 13 Black Aja could meet you there and turn you in Telen Riad, right?
Well, I mean, if you had someone who was strong enough there, they could just imagine that happening and it could happen. But that's not really the point of this.
It is.
No, this is the point of this is that, like, first of all, you're facing your biggest fears. Egwene doesn't even know that that's a possibility.
But she gets so...
Like she doesn't even grasp the power enough to realize that you could turn.
I know she doesn't
using the power,
but everyone outside does. Everyone outside understands the danger of her being in a circle jerk between 13 Black Aja and 13 Murdral.
And she asks Shiriam in the next podcast. We'll get into that. She asks Shiriam when she comes out, like, "What is the fucking deal?" And she's like, and Shiriam tells her, "Yeah, they can turn you. It's the weakness of being able to channel." That they can turn you against your will.
Yeah.
I think they could have turned her in the Arches.
I mean, technically, you know, if it happened, maybe it would be real. I don't know.
It might have been real. So that's the thing is,
maybe she wouldn't have just wouldn't have came back, right?
If she would have accepted it, then it probably would have been real.
Right.
Because that's what the one thing that they say, they talk about in the Arches is the people that don't come back usually accept what's going on around them as reality.
Yes.
And so they just decide to stay. It's kind of like a dream. If you think about it, you know, when it starts, things don't make sense, but then it makes sense in dream logic. Like,
right.
I never did that, but I can remember doing it, but I don't remember doing it. Well, that's so weird, you know?
It's like when I catch myself drinking in dreams, I'm like, something led me here. Like, I didn't just like throw myself off the wagon in a vacuum.
Right.
I'm not going to stop this because I'm here for good reason.
Listen, I know this is a dream, so I'm going to drink as much as I want.
I was driven drunk and not going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
Well, it's dream logic again, too, because it's like these people, she doesn't even know them, but she's like, I know Beldine, you know, like.
And I know I haven't touched the oath rod, like something I'm sitting where I should be sitting. Have I touched the oath rod? But and that's true, right?
A version of this kind of happens in the books, you know, but when you see that, basically lets you know, like, a lot of dreadlords have been turned, but not all dreadlords have to be turned, right? So
a lot of them go over to the shadow willingly.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Getting back to the second arch, if she wouldn't kill Rand right there, she would doom the world. I mean, I guess if you kill Rand, maybe you doom the world, but, you know, if he gets turned, everything's fucked.
Yeah, you're damned if you do.
Is the way back comes but once, be steadfast, is that being uttered by Aes Sedai outside of the arches to keep her tethered to reality?
No, I think it's more like a mantra. Like, she, like, they say it to her.
Like, if you fix one thing in your mind, it better be this.
Yeah, you need to. And honestly, I think it's audibly said. Like, she will hear it. And then, I don't know if it's in her voice or in whoever took. I don't know if it's in her voice or whoever told it to her voice. It's probably whoever told it to her voice. But I think she audibly does
hear it. I think it's theirs because Nynaeve has it happen to her too. So I think it's their own.
But they're not chanting it.
No. I don't believe that.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. Okay.
In the TV show, it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They can do whatever they want.
While they're pounding their chest.
I was and contemplating screaming. Doing that because you weren't here. I'm like, I'm your designated Borna. I was like, wait, he's dead. He's just not here today. And so I don't know.
And they have to shove you through each arch too. Like, just push you through as hard as they can.
Yeah, just like the river. Bye. Like I said, you're seeing a version. She is Amarylin. She's in the tower. Beldine is a real person, but I don't think she ends up becoming the keeper or even in that important.
I'd have to look up who Beldine is because I've just finished the sixth book.
I think she just becomes a random Aes Sedai. I don't know.
That's my Wu-Tang rap name. Random Aes Sedai.
Beldine, yeah.
Random. I thought it was Beldine.
What was the Great Purge? Is the Great Purge what, spoiler alert, they have for when they redo the oath rod and everything?
Yeah, you're gonna really like this, Dez. In the later books, they come to find, like, and it's not anybody who's sent on a quest or anything. It's these Aes Sedai that just eventually, like, they start looking around and going, like, something's going on. Like, well, first of all the Ajahs are like at each other's throats. But then these two ladies were like, you know, we were friends before when we were novices. And then we both went to different Ajahs. And then we kind of haven't talked, but something's going on. So let's talk. And so they start talking and then they start trying to figure out, like, something's going on and we need to figure out. And then we need to figure out, there's Black Ajah here. How can we logically figure out who it is? And so they start bringing more and more people in. And then they find out, like, well, we'll just use the oath rod. We'll go down. We'll take our oaths away. And then we'll add another oath. And then somebody's down at the time when they're doing it. And they're like, yeah, it's cool. I'm going to take off.
My mom's calling. I got a sandwich to.
Did you guys hear that? Did you guys hear that? I think my mom's calling me.
Sedai.
Yeah. Jeremy, someone's calling.
I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
I got to see a man about a horse.
Yeah, there's somebody by the door. They just go squeak, click.
Who just left? Who left?
What's the bathroom code again?
Yeah, it's really interesting how they do that. There's a lot of stuff that you're going to be like, wow, it's really interesting how Robert Jordan did that.
Wow, it's really weird that Rafe Judkins left that out.
Guys, stop hanging on Rafe.
It sounds different when I say it.
It totally does. Justin didn't look at you and go, I hate you. I hate you so much. You're so right, but I hate you so much.
It's on topic, but still it's weird. Forgot to mention it last episode. Hope you guys had fun at JordanCon. Give us a shout if you were at JordanCon. Send us an email. We'll all of our deets are going to be at the end of this show or in our liner notes. And I'd love to hear what the experience was like, because I'm hoping to come next year. That's the goal, is to be part of it.
No. We want to be invited next year. We want to have an invitation sent that says to Thank the Light, care of.
We're going to have to pay to go once. And then when they see how awesome we are,
fine,
then we'll be an annual get back.
Fingers crossed.
Justin's been recording for an hour, for 2.5 hours now.
I know. That's,
yeah, I'm sorry. Pretty drunk at this point. So.
I'm still taking notes.
Do we think Aleda was turned in this world or just an asshole?
I just think it's her dream. I think it's Egwene's dream. So she made her as evil as she can make her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And do you think she's been turned or is she just shitty? Because she's obviously got to be, she's got to be dark, right? She's got to be playing for the dark side, right?
Absolutely.
I love how they're like, Balefire? Like, what is that?
You know, this is the first mention of Balefire.
Is it?
It's the first mention of Balefire.
Yeah, because Moraine doesn't, you don't hear it. They are letting you know some power limitations, though, even though it's like a dream or whatever. They're kind of letting you know. They do mention some things that can't be done and can be done. And they explain the stop clicking the pen.
It's funny. I can't hear it now, but when I edit it.
Oh, you're going to fucking hear it. You're going to hear it a fucking lot. And it's going to make me so angry next episode. I'm going to fucking punch myself in the dick. I hate myself so much because I've been doing it.
I'm chewing gum, so what am I to say?
We were talking about, too, you mentioned a little bit that, like, she basically almost ruins that Taryn girl by having the ring with her. I didn't really realize that till we were recording this episode. I'm like, is it Black Aja? Is it because...
It's the ring.
Like, do you know, like, when Matt goes... What I mentioned was when Matt goes through the doorway or when Rand goes through the doorway, they start asking questions about the shadow and it starts causing fucking problems.
I don't think that it's that. I think it's the fact that there's three of them in there at the exact same time.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Two of them can channel. So they're like, fuck. And two of them are Tavirin. So you get in like a...
That's the main thing. I think it's that there's two that are Tavirin and two that it can channel. So Matt comes out.
Sorry. Real quick. Who were we talking about?
So there's in the next book four.
Oh, okay. Never mind it. I thought we were talking about what just happened. I'm like, who was her?
No.
Okay.
Let's say,
okay.
So Moraine and Matt and Rand all go through a certain Tarangriel. It's not like the Arches, but and they're all three in there at the same time. And it puts a huge strain on whatever world dimension that they're in, and it starts to really cause strain on the fabric of that reality, because there's two people that can channel, which really excites them because they can feed on people that can channel, and two Tavirin, so they can really feed on their emotions as well.
Yeah, to the point where when Matt comes out and he's like, what the heck, I don't know that I got all the answers, because you're supposed to get three answers. And then Rand walks out right after that out of the same doorway.
He backs out, channeling.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck off me. And you never hear you never hear Rand's experience. You don't know what the fuck happened while he
was. And then Moraine comes out and she's like, oh, you two were in there at the exact same time as me? No wonder they were having all these issues.
No wonder there was a fucking problem. No, totally. Moraine's like, I told you assholes not to go in here. Like, why are you in here?
She's like, well, I'm going to go in there, but I told you not to go in there.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Send us questions, comments at thankthelight@gmail.com. let us know. Should we get rid of Jeremy for good or should we keep him? Like, this was a hell of an experience.
Please let us know.
If you'd have asked me before this, I'd have said, fuck that guy. But now that I had to do it without him, first of all, my internet doesn't work without Jeremy's magic. So whatever, Gandalf.
Turns out I got the touch.
Whatever, you got that broadband connection. And I'm a hell of a lot funnier with you being the straight guy, because with me being serious, this podcast is a little boring.
You know what? I'll be your Dean Martin any day.
Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Check out On Your Feet. Hopefully it's there by now. We just recently recorded an episode with the whole Sounds Awesome crew. So please give that a listen so you can get to know some of the other hosts and give yourself another great excuse to check out the excellent podcast on the Sounds Awesome Network, or you can head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com right now and check those out, or find them wherever you find fine free podcasts. What is, what was, what shall be?
Be steadfast. And I don't really have any Wheel of Time wisdom for you today, so I'm just going to say, hey, 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 smoke weed every day. Nate Dogg.
R.I.P. R.I.P.D.
You know what I'm going to say is don't do fentanyl. Because that just took Coolio away from us, because we found out that we got his autopsy back.
And
we got him. Don't do fentanyl. Hey, don't do drugs, because you never know what's going to have fentanyl in it.
Whoa. Just be close with your dealers so that you trust them, is all we're saying.
If you work at a weed shop,
be safe.
You're probably not going to be selling fentanyl, right, Justin?
I think anybody who smokes weed probably is not in danger of getting fentanyl.
There you go.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
That's the stinger.